Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
There's been a lot of talk over the past 2 weeks around the hit Netflix TV show Adolescence. If you haven't seen it, watch it this weekend. It's incredible and it's brought a lot of conversations to the fore, especially around the manosphere influencers, the likes of your Andrew Tate. It's brought up subjects around dissatisfaction among young men as well. And Ben Bidwell is with me today on the programme. Ben is a human potential coach focusing on men's mental health, areas around masculinity. Ben, listen, thanks a million for joining us first of all on the programme. Maybe just to give listeners a brief insight or background, this is an area that you struggled with yourself, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to be part of these conversations. I think they've been a long time coming. I did. You know, I lived that life of trying to be your typical man. And that was very far away from the truth of who I really was. You know, as a man, I was born with a sensitive side in a world that told me I wasn't to be sensitive. And that caused a lot of pain for me. It's through that pain that I've ended up being in this place, because I still see it in so many men now. We're told to be certain ways and it hurts us.
You were ex-military, am I right, Ben, in saying that?
I wasn't, no, but I guess I'm familiar with that world, and a lot of people around me have trodden that path, so I'm familiar with some of the pain that men go through.
Oh, apologies. I thought that was I thought that was part of your professional background. But this is an area, I suppose, that you got support with for yourself personally.
I did, yeah. I was looking back now, I can see that I was in a lot of pain in my 20s. At the time, I didn't know it was. I just thought it was normal life, you know, and I chased the highs and the girls and the parties and all the things that, you know, we're taught is success and get pats on the back for. Looking back now, I can see that actually I was in a lot of pain, and I was searching. So I was very fortunate in that I stumbled across some support at age 30 that kind of changed the course of my life. I didn't know I needed that change, but when it came and I was invited to understand myself better, to become more of my true, authentic self without wanting to drop all the cliches in there, life changed. And I finally found the freedom to become the man that I really was, rather than the man that society told me I should be if I wanted to thrive.
Yeah. And now that you're working, you know, as a professional in the area, as a sort of a support, guidance, maybe mentor for people and particularly young men. What are your observations? What have you noticed now in recent years in this area?
Well, I mean, there's so much I could say, but I think first and foremost, just that men are in a lot of pain, and that's a huge generalization. And a lot of people might be surprised by that, because obviously, you know, there are a huge amount of benefits that come with being a man in this world as well. Many of which are very visible. You know, there's a lot of men in power and a lot of men are celebrated, but actually there's a lot of men who don't get to express themselves, have to wear what we would call this mask. And in wearing this mask of trying to be someone, trying to perform, we carry a lot of heaviness, a lot of weight in a world that's told us we shouldn't, and we're privileged and we shouldn't express this, and it'd be perceived as weak, and we have to be the ones who are strong. So I think we're seeing this turning point now, where for a long time men, this world has presented us the story that men have it all. It's a man's world, you know, a very common theme, right? But when we look at suicide rates, and we understand that 3 in 4 men take their own lives. Sorry, 3 in 4 suicides are men. We start to understand that there's a very different picture to perhaps the one that we've originally seen.
And is this something, is it an area that you think that maybe parents or educators talk to their boys, whether they be teenagers or in whatever age appropriate fashion, but is it an area we talk about enough?
I think it's changing. I certainly, when I was growing up, it wasn't talked about enough. I'm 43, so there was no conversation, and I didn't see anyone, any men in my world, talk about emotion or have any kind of expression at all. I grew up seeing James Bond, Rambo, Terminator, you know, all these men, and that was presented to me to thrive, right? And that was all I ever saw. So now I think we have, I mean, I don't know why these names come to me, but I think of The Rock, you know, this huge WWF wrestler and film star, and he openly shares his tits. He shares his battles with depression and the challenges he has. And we realize it doesn't necessarily mean he's weak. So there is, I think, a lot more license now coming through. And that, I think, partly is why we're seeing this whole conversation open up, because men are seeing actually, oh, I can finally talk about this. It's not quite as foreign conversation as perhaps 20 years ago when it was completely foreign.
Do you know, the two interesting texts, if you don't mind, I might put the two to you, Ben. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. The first is from, I think it must be from a mum, actually, who's got in touch. And she makes the point that she has a 9-year-old son who she feels is quite a sensitive young lad. She often finds herself commenting on his sensitivity in front of family and friends. For instance, sharing a poster picture or video around his birthday. I often praise the fact that he is so sensitive. And I now wonder, having watched the likes of Adolescence and the conversations that have been happening in recent weeks, whether I should do that. I don't know whether you've thought on that.
I hear that challenge. I would say, we have to. But I also hear the challenge in that, you know, there is the risk of it being perceived in a negative way. As a 9-year-old boy, am I quite as much of a lad, if you like, am I going to be sort of teased and bullied if I'm celebrated for being sensitive? So I get that challenge. For me, it's important. And I think that the part of this that we really need to step into is that as a man, it's very possible to be strong, to be a leader, and to be sensitive. In fact, I think it's really important that we do see the two come together. The best leaders are now being seen as the ones who are also sensitive. And it's not a polarization. It's not one or the other. It's this new blend of you're sensitive, but you're also a leader, and the two can work together.
Now, on the other side of the spectrum, this texter has got in touch to say, give me strength. Needless to say, the awful woke term toxic masculinity is a phrase unfortunately imported into everyday social discourse courtesy of extreme radical feminist ideology. A truly horrible, nasty anti-male term that is symptomatic of what many would undoubtedly feel is a far greater problem, which is toxic far left wokeism, which, as we know, unfortunately, pervades today's crazy mixed up woke world.
Well, I mean, there's a lot in there, but I think this phrase toxic masculinity, the challenge we have with it is that it kind of brandishes masculinity as toxic, which is quite the opposite. You know, a true healthy male is really not toxic. He is a protector. He is someone who will provide huge value to this world. So I think this is the part of the challenge we've got with kids growing up, boys, young boys growing up, is that they've had this term brandished. They felt that masculinity is bad, or they're being told masculinity is bad, and they're wondering what they've ever done to be labeled that way. So I think we need to be careful with this branding. It's not that masculinity is toxic. However, there are definite traits that we can see in this world of masculinity that are being displayed in a very toxic way. But that can be true for anything. You know, there are toxic parts to femininity as well.
Stay with us, Ben, if you don't mind, for a few moments, because I just want to bring in some other callers to the conversation. Emer Murphy from Ream Training Solutions is with me on the line today, because Emer, you're in the area of teaching around digital awareness, wellbeing programs for students. Is there a concern out there in classrooms and among parents about this sort of isolation, about the manosphere that we do hear a lot of discussion about lately?
Hi, Andrea, and hi, Ben. Yes, absolutely. There is definitely, I suppose, a fear and a sense of not knowing, you know, what to do from a parent's perspective. We have parents' workshops quite regularly, and we're hearing from them that, you know, particularly as young boys, they're not sure how they should, I suppose, curtail their activities online, or what they should do and how much they should be allowing them to view influencers and I suppose what kind of content and where they're getting that content from. And there's definitely issues around that. But I mean, I think it always comes back to the key areas of, you know, communication with your young person that you are allowing to have a device in the first place. That has to come as number one as a parent. Making sure that they're using their devices in areas that, you know, you can keep an eye on them, so they're not hidden away in their bedrooms. There's really key, I suppose, areas that we just need to enforce with our young people and with our children to make sure that we are treating, I suppose, keeping them safe. You know, if they're in alone in a bedroom with the door closed, I mean, they are vulnerable. And it is a fertile breeding ground for people to be in contact with them. So we need to be aware of that and to try and keep those lines of communication open. Talk to them about who they're speaking to online through their games, but also, you know, who are they viewing on their YouTube channels? Who are they viewing and talking through to TikTok or, you know, Instagram or whatever their social media of choice is? You know, Andrea, they look up to influencers. That's the world that we live in right now. And they're curious. They will actually go and have a look. You know, they may hear in the school playground, you know, Andrew Tate, who's he? They'll go and they'll have a look. And now he's maybe popping up into their feed more regularly. So, I mean, he is probably having an impact on young boys. And we do need to start those discussions younger and younger. Unfortunately, we are having conversations with parents who are, you know, are having to have conversations with younger people as young as 6 and 7 years of age because they've come across content online that they're, you know, they're not happy about. They don't know how to verbalise that, but they just know that they're uncomfortable with it.
Okay. Stay with us, Emer. Noelle has got in touch with us. 1800 453 106. That's the number. Noelle is on the line. You wanted to make a point, Noelle, about this.
Just something I had seen somebody mention, but I didn't think it had been talked about after the adolescence series, which I did watch. And I saw somebody mention how the fourth episode was a masterpiece in showing the effect of, say, men having to repress how they feel and the effect it had on everyone. And I was thinking about the episode, you know, where they're in the car and then on the way to somewhere happy and then on the way back not, and how everybody was affected by it.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, only maybe a week or two ago, I don't even remember what we were watching, but something was on TV, the kids were with us, and I have a four-year-old son, and he said something about crying, and his daddy said, oh, boys don't need to cry. But and that kind of conversation. And I was shocked. And I said, no, hold on. Boys can cry. Boys can cry if they feel like they need to cry. You know, girls cry if they need to cry. Kind of, I was just really surprised by kind of the fact that it was even being stated kind of in our house. And then it just made me realise that, you know, there's got to be differences of opinions in houses and it has to be dealt with. But I feel that, which is something people have always kind of talked about, boys needing to feel that they need to repress to play a particular part. And I thought that came out really strong in that episode.
I just
think it was something worth mentioning, along with obviously the online thing is a massive thing, but that very simple message of boys' emotions need to be handled different to girls, it just seems so... it doesn't seem doesn't make sense to me, and I'm saying that as a woman, that like, you know, that anyone would be told you should or you shouldn't react to situations.
How to do it? You'd like to think
a particular way, you know. But anyway, that was my point. Anyway,
Chris Sherlock is a broadcaster and mental health advocate. I don't know, Chris, if you've any words of wisdom or advice for our caller Noelle there on how to deal with that.
Hi Noelle, hi Eamon, hi Ben, and good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, it's an interesting point that she brought up, Noelle brought up there about the fourth episode, because my mind was focused on the third episode mostly, where stuff resonated with me. But just to pick up on very quickly some of the points that were mentioned already, like the going back to the older generations where, and like Noelle there just said about, you know, boys shouldn't cry and, you know, boys shouldn't do this and boys should be perceived to do certain things. And touching back on role models, we do have to be extra careful on who kids are looking up to. And that's where it boils down to what they're being told from the young age of being obviously in the adolescence age. Like for me, that third episode was, the whole series is masterfully put together, I have to say, but that anger scene that the actor Owen Cooper had, who played Jamie Miller, he was there talking to his therapist and going through the
motions. Don't want to give too many spoilers away either, Chris, for people that maybe haven't seen Adolescence, but no, I know what you mean, the discussion around the the consultation.
Yeah, but no, but it's not giving anything away here. But it was just that whole, the series. Without giving anything away, it was so intense, and it was very adamant that there was one little part that where he got tired, and that was an actor, a point of view where he was tired and he was getting angry, and that anger can build within us all the time when we're told to do this and we're told to do that. And my point taken from that is that I remember when I was being bullied in school, I was backed into a corner. I felt lonely. I felt isolated. I didn't know who I could turn to. I didn't understand what was going on with me. And I had nowhere to actually vent that anger. And I was trying to decipher what was right and what was wrong to do. And, thankfully there was no online, because if I was online at my specific moment looking up the likes of different trends,
I know, on influencers, I can only Chris imagine, somebody in around the same probably age profile as you, that how difficult that would have made it. Maybe just spend on a final point, because I'm thinking that there's probably a lot of parents maybe now 20 past one here in Ireland today collecting kids from school in and around the 8, 9, 10 age brackets, even her early teens obviously as well this afternoon, and they might spend some time at home online playing games, browsing, watching whatever they're watching on YouTube or TV over the weekend. What kind of conversation should parents, mums and dads, have with their boys and their girls as well about this weekend?
I think the key in all these conversations is that we don't judge them, we don't try and tell them who they should be, we don't tell them make their emotions right or wrong or good or bad, but we just give them space and we listen to them, we hear them, we be present with them, and we be the role models to them. We can't expect them not to spend time online and doing all the things the whole time if that's what we're doing. So I think really it's being present with them, being in tune with them, being allowing them to express themselves, to be angry. We touched on a really important part there. Through this whole situation that we're going through, if we stop boys being angry, then we're going to evolve into some dangerous boys. Anger is going to be part of their expression. Sadness is going to be, allow for it. We're not trying to change it.
Yeah.
Give them permission.
Okay, well listen, Ben, lovely to chat to you and thanks for your time here on Lunchtime Live. That's Ben Bidwell, human potential coach, as I said, specialising in men's mental health and areas around masculinity. Eimear Murphy from Ream Training Solutions. Chris Sherlock is a mental health advocate. Noel, thanks a million too for joining us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.